Hey, what's happening?
How are you doing, my man?
I'm doing pretty good. Can't complain.
I don't think you can.
How's everything on your end?
It's pretty good, and you know, we got a little connection going here. You know, we got to get into right off the bat.
Okay.
I'm a Philly boy myself.
Yes, sir. I saw that.
Oh yeah. What part are you from?
I'm from like West Oak Lane, Mount Airy.
Okay. Very cool.
Yeah. How about yourself?
My family's all from South Philly, but I was actually I was born in Philly, but raised in the Upper Northeast Section, out right outside of West Philly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I went to school in South Philly, and I went to high school in South Philly, and I went to grade school in the Northeast.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I would imagine you're an Eagles fan.
Oh, bleed green all day. Fly Eagles fly, baby.
That's it.
I've been in LA for almost 20 years, but ain't nothing gonna ever change that.
Yeah. I actually just moved to Nashville like 7 months ago, and yeah, people were like, oh, you're going to be a Titans fan now? I'm like, are you out of your mind? Like, stop.
right. Like, do you even know me?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's funny. Like I go back, like, after, you know, you get the Facebook memories, and I see when the Eagles won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Like,
mm-hmm.
I Facebook Live that moment, so I would have it, and I was a blubbering, crying baby. It was like one of the greatest moments of my life.
Listen, man, I feel you. I flew back to Philly because I wasn't ready for the complete letdown of actually going to the Super Bowl. So I was like, you know what? I want to be in Philly for when we win. Have be there for the parade. And listen, mm-hmm. I left some tears on the where I watched. I watched it at the Punchline Comedy Spot in Philly.
Oh, nice. Okay, great place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I got some Super Bowl tears laying on their floor, so it's all good.
That's awesome. So do you, by chance, know a Philly boy, one up at Arby boy, who I grew up with the grade school with, who's he went out there following the same dream you did to become an actor, Jamie Kennedy.
Are you not talking about the old school Jamie Kennedy or the new guy?
There's another one. What was that? Old school and with the Malibu's Most Wanted and
I haven't met him yet. I didn't know he was a Philly cat.
Yeah, Alfred Arby, man. Me and him went all through grade school together, and it was funny. Like every time he'd come back into Philly for stand up, he would do it at Punchline. As a matter of fact, you know, over the last several years, we'd get together and stuff and hang out. And, yeah, good stuff.
That's crazy because you know. With me, with the Philly people, man, anybody from Philly, I support them 100%.
Yeah.
And I did not know Jamie Kennedy was a Philly guy.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I know Seth Green is a Philly guy.
Yeah.
His dad was actually a teacher at my school.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So I know he's a Philly guy. I know a lot of the Philly guys out here. It's a lot of Philly people out here, really, in LA.
Right. You know, it's funny, another Upper Darby one that I actually went to high school with, Tina Fey. And, you know, it's weird, like, for years I kept, you know, everybody was like, oh, yeah, you know, you went to school with Tina Fey. I'm like, yeah, but I honest to God, I don't remember her. And then, like, you know, years later with the internet, like, one of these things popped up where it showed her high school picture. And I was like, oh, my God, that's Tina Fey? It's not the same Tina Fey you see today. It's completely
diverse. Wow.
Yeah, it was like, wow, okay.
I didn't know Tina Fey was Philly either. You got me starting to question my Philly card. All these people.
What about you?
I didn't realize. You know, it's funny, too, because we just watched something. Me and my wife was just watching something, and Jamie Kennedy popped up on it. I forgot what we were watching.
He's been doing a lot of game show. Yeah, he's been doing a lot of game shows lately.
Okay, yeah. That's what's up, though. Okay.
That's wild.
That's what's up.
So that was the thing. So you moved out there to truly become an actor.
Yeah, man. I came out to, you know, I went from Philly. I went to school in New York, and then literally, like, with 6 hours after I graduated, after I walked down the aisle, I moved to L.A. I was at the airport. I was at LaGuardia Airport moving to L.A. to do, to do TV and film, on-camera acting. I did a movie down in Atlanta, and it was called Selma Lord Selma. It was an ABC Disney movie back when they had, like, those Sunday night Disney movies that they did. I did one of those, and you know, when I was working on that set, a lot of the actors I worked with, they were like, look, man, you can work almost anywhere, you know, places like Atlanta and New York, but like, if you want to do the big stuff, you want to do the main casting, you want to get the serious roles, you got to move to LA. So that's what I did.
Wow. You took no time. 6 hours later, you're on a plane.
Really? 4:30 in the morning. I was on the way. I would say probably 80% of my stuff was already shipped out to LA before I even, you know, a good month before I even left.
Wow, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you really plotted that course, and you had it all set.
Yeah, man, I was ready to go. I'm a planner, so you know what I mean. I had it all mapped out, ready to go.
Now, something I saw, and I got to ask, because over the years I've interviewed a lot of these people, was you on MasterChef?
Yeah, I was on the first season of MasterChef.
No kidding.
Yeah, man, that was an experience that changed my life in more ways than one. I would say one of the main things it did for me is it just escalated my passion for food and for cooking to a whole nother level. And it, you know, it just gave me a great appreciation. My experience on MasterChef is, you know, it was different. You know what I mean? First, you know, it was the first season of the show and all that kind of stuff. You know, so they definitely, you know, it was definitely an experience. It was a good time.
I watch that show and I get so stressed out over those time challenges and stuff like that. I don't know how you people do it.
Listen, man, that's the one thing I tell people: don't overestimate what you would do in those situations. Because when the clock is running and the lights are on and the cameras are rolling and the judges are breathing down your neck, you know, you just make little silly mistakes that you normally probably wouldn't make in the kitchen. So on these competitions, it's crazy. And it's probably only one other cooking competition out there that I would do, and that's probably Chopped. Maybe another one, but definitely Chopped is probably the only other cooking competition I probably would ever compete in reality-wise against.
Would you ever think about doing it again, or?
You listen, if they wanted to bring me back on like some old special MasterChef reunion or second shot kind of thing, you know what I mean? I would definitely try it because I just feel like my cooking and stuff has grown and my experience has grown. So I mean, I would definitely try it. I'm always open for it, but you know, my dream is to have me a traveling cooking show, whether it's something that I go around and cook with people around the world or go taste stuff around the world, you know, kind of, you know, do what Bourdain did or, you know, what Zimmern does or something like that. That's like one of my dream jobs.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, man.
So now you've been doing a lot of like voiceover stuff for video games and cartoons. How did you fall into that?
Yeah, man, the voiceover stuff, that's one of those things that happens, you know. I've added two things to my belt and to my repertoire since I've been out in LA. I've added hosting and I've added voiceover. Voiceover is one of those things, you know, one of the things I've done out here for years is I bartended. And being a bartender, you talk to a lot of people, you get a lot of people come across your bar and they, you know, I used to always get, the first thing they would ask me, do you sing? And I'm like, listen, I can sing, but you're going to run out of here. So, you know what I mean? I can't sing to save my life. That's one of the reasons why I left New York, because I could dance and I can act, but Broadway wasn't going to work for me, so I got out of there. But they would ask me about singing, then they asked me if I do radio and stuff, I do voiceovers because of my voice. And I never really paid that much attention to my voice, you know what I mean? I never thought to myself, oh, voiceover is something I should do. So I really got to thank, you know what I mean, essentially the people out there for crowdsourcing that and putting that in my head. After I heard it enough times, I was like, all right, let me go see what this voiceover thing is about. I took a class, learned that it was nothing like I thought it was. Because all I thought voiceover was just putting on a voice and being like, ah, and you good. But no, right. It's nothing like that. It's a true crafty profession, and I'm glad to be doing it. Yeah, man, I've done video games. I've done cartoons, Cartoon Network, We Bear Bears, Netflix, all kinds of stuff.
You know, something too that I really I've noticed over the years, and actually my daughters have brought this to my attention more and more, being the fact that they're both gamers and into the whole world of cartoons and anime, is voiceover actors, I think, are finally, in the last few years, are starting to get a lot more respect than they have through, you know, the many years prior. It just seems like it's becoming more and more sort of forefront, especially, you know, with like these Comic Cons and stuff like that, where you're seeing these people more as guests than actual on-screen actors.
Absolutely. And I think what that has to attribute to is twofold. Definitely the style of games and stuff has moved more to a theatrical type product. You know, when you play a video game now, it's almost like there's a movie along with the video game. And so with that comes in the second part is now you begin to attract and draw names, celebrity names and celebrity actors and celebrity voice actors and things like that to create these voices. And lastly, I would say the fans of these games and the fans of these franchises that are out there loving it and playing the campaigns and going through all that process is really what makes it a huge deal.
Absolutely. Now with the hosting and doing hosting things and doing the ring announcement for BattleBots, like how did that all happen? Like, because was it, I mean, you said it was partially from taking this class and getting into the voiceover stuff, but hosting is a whole other world in itself because it's got to be, there's no script. It's you pretty much.
Right. And you know, it's crazy. You know, I'm kind of getting chills here thinking about it because when you talk about, you know, BattleBots and hosting and how it all went down for me is really crazy. Hosting was another thing, like I said before, I added when I got out to LA. And that's one thing I would tell anybody that comes, don't be afraid to learn new stuff, man. Don't be afraid to learn new stuff, try new stuff. You know, because not necessarily the acting wasn't working for me out here. I was doing some things, I was doing a few things, but it's like, just keep reinventing yourself. And for me, when it came down to hosting, I had just quit my job at a restaurant because it was too far away. And I was playing video games, and I said, you know, I wish I could get paid to play video games. And I said this out loud. And a week later, I promise you, a week later, I got a call saying, hey, do you like video games? You like football? Can you host? And I was like, well, I've never hosted, but I'm an actor. I can act like a host. Me and my buddy, we went to his apartment, put sheets up on the wall, pulled out plants and clap tracks, and we act like I was hosting an open mic. I submitted that video, and I got brought on to be a host for EA Sports Madden Challenge, which was like a video game competition that traveled around the country. And from there on, man, I've been hosting nonstop. And with BattleBots, that came out of a product. I did a lot of my early hosting and stuff in video games and in esports. And this, again, was we're talking 15 years ago or so. So this is like before how big esports are now. I was kind of like in like the first generation of them. We had a show called Championship Gaming Series on Deluxe TV, and from there was a guy, a producer. Fast forward, he started working on BattleBots. They was like, yo, I know a guy that can do some intros for you guys, brought me on. And I never auditioned for BattleBots. I just sat down with the guys and talked to them for like a half an hour, and then, you know, here we are 5 seasons later.
Holy cow.
Ready to go, man. And it's BattleBots has been a dream job for me because I've been able to just be myself. Like, every introduction you see me doing there, man, it's all just me being crazy, having fun, and being serious and being silly and just pushing myself to the limits. And it's one of the best things in the world, man.
Now I got to ask this. Me also being a Philly guy, and my background is from professional wrestling. I was a former wrestler in ECW, which was based out of Philly. Your ring announcing and especially the writing of your announces reminds me of somebody from ECW, Mr. Joel Gertner. So I didn't know if there was any influence there from ECW and Joel Gertner on there, or if you even know who he is. If not, check him out because you might see some similarities, especially in the writing.
Okay, yeah, definitely. I'm definitely going to check it out, man. You know, that's one of the number one question I get about the introductions is if I write the introductions, and I don't. I'm not the writer. We got an amazing writer team. They don't get any sleep whatsoever when they're writing for me and writing for the show. But, yeah, it's one of the things always equated to this. The writers are like, it's like the introductions are like Frankenstein, right? The writers are the doctor that put the body together. And I'm like the electricity bolt that comes and brings it to life. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I get a lot of fans that hit me up and tell me about all these announcers and stuff that, you know, I'm kind of similar to, and this, that, and the third. And, you know, like the guy you mentioned, I never heard of him. I actually didn't go to anybody for influence. I just did what I do. You know what I mean?
Right.
And just added my own flavor and flair to it. But it's cool that a lot of people are really, you know, receptive to and loving the style that I put out there.
That's cool. Now, did I see, too, I guess you guys were getting ready to do the championships, and it's on hold due to the whole quarantine pandemic thing going on?
Yeah, so we had our fifth season that we had coming up on our home station on Discovery. We were supposed to actually start shooting April 3rd around that time and shoot for a couple weeks. But yeah, because of the whole stay-at-home practices and everything else and the social distancing, we've been postponed. So once everything gets up and running, hopefully later this summer, we're going to be able to bring a season 5 of Battle Box to Discovery and all our fans this year.
Nice, nice. So that leads us to what you're doing now, which, I mean, this kind of sounds like a dream job almost. You're being paid to travel around the world and kind of not only teach people about their heritage, but, you know, it's kind of a history lesson for yourself, too.
Oh, absolutely. This show is literally only one aspect of my dream job, tiny aspect, is out of this. Like I said, you know, being able to travel and bring families together, that's all well. That's definitely what I want to do. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that in a second. But the only thing missing is food. You know, we went around dealing with food, and in some cases we do. Like, you know, in our first episode, we went and chased tamales. So that was, you know, I felt like I was living my dream right there. I mean, this job was really a dream job. And this is another one of those, man, that was kind of presented to me. You know, I didn't even know about the show until my agent called me and told me I booked it.
Wow. Oh, you got a lot.
I didn't audition. I had my reel out there, and my agent was shopping my reel around. And apparently, you know, they had their hands on my reel, and they had their hands on me, knowing what I could do. And they were looking for a show for me for about a year. And when this one came around, they're like, this is perfect. And they kind of gave it to me, man. I didn't even audition. So it's just truly a blessing.
Wow, you gotta love that. So the show is on NBC. It's called Roots Less Traveled, and basically, so it sounds like what they do is they get two members of a family and they put them together and go through ancestry.com and trace their history, and you take them around to go through the history with them, or
yeah, absolutely, yeah. It's one of those jobs where, you know, it is a dream job because, like you said, we take two family members, and, you know, everybody has, like, stories in their family history, you know, and always equated to that game, Whisper Down the Lane, where, like, you got, like, maybe 5 or 10 people lined up, and you tell them a story, and by the time it gets to the end, it all changes. And that's how it happens in our family history sometimes. So, you know, we got a lot of myths and legends that we begin to uncover and discover for these families, and we don't stay in one place. We get to take them all around the world. I mean, we went to multiple cities here in the U.S. We also went to Mexico City. We went to Cuba, which is on the episode we have coming up. So, yeah, man, it's just crazy. And the thing about it is that it's a show that's for family and it's for time that's perfect as this. For me, myself, you know, before I got the job, I was in a little space like, oh, what's my purpose? What am I doing here? What am I going to do? Like, you know, kind of looking for my purpose.
Sure.
And I woke up one day and I told my wife, I said, you know what? I think I got it. For the family. I want to do content that's for the family. And when I tell you, 1 week later, I got the call from my agent saying I booked this show, I was like, wow. And this is a show that's for and all about family. It's crazy.
That's amazing. So like, when you guys are shooting this, like, how long does it take to shoot, like, say, one episode? I mean, because, again, you guys are traveling around the country. So is it like, you know, a couple weeks to shoot one episode, I would imagine? Or?
Well, I would say in totality, maybe like 4 or 5 days. Because we kind of shot in the home base in L.A. We shot a few days here. And then each couple family members that we took to their respective cities, we were probably there anywhere from 3 to 4 days total travel time. So, but yeah, it was a wild ride. Again, it was an experience like I've never had before because, you know, at one stretch, we did three, four, or five cities back to back.
Wow.
And so, you know, I was on the road for probably about 2.5 weeks. I went from Montana, I stopped a day and a half in L.A., then went to Mexico City, then to Cuba, then to Philly. I stopped home for a day to say hi to my family. Then we went up to Martha's Vineyard and then to Virginia. That was all one chunk of how many episodes we shot back to back to back to back.
Wow. Now, do you actually travel with these family members? Like, are you guys, like, in sync flights or whatever? Or is it all, you know what I mean? Or is it, like, separate?
Well, I would say the family members, they travel themselves because they have their own experience. They kind of do like their own little selfie videos, and the production team, we kind of travel with our, you know, our separate time too, because we get out there a little bit early than they do to kind of set up and, you know, do all the behind the scenes stuff, get everything all geared up and ready for them. So
nice. That's cool. That's really cool. Now, have you yourself, have you done the Ancestry.com thing?
I have. I did it even before I did the show. And, you know, when the family historians over at Ancestry are super, super amazing, because it takes hundreds and hundreds of hours to, like, fact check and find all this stuff. And for me, you know, I did the DNA, the Ancestry DNA, and, you know, found out, you know, kind of where they say my DNA comes from. And with the family history stuff, I had somebody go ahead and kind of, I was able to go trace back on my father's side, probably back then to my four-time great-grandfather, which was awesome. Like, for me, I didn't even know my grandfather's name.
Right.
So seeing all those other names popped up, you know, just made me emotional. Just seeing the names, not even knowing the story, just seeing the names, you know, and attaching them to my family and my lineage and going back that far, it was just truly amazing. I encourage everybody to do it. It's empowering.
It is. It, you know what's really amazing to me? Like, I did it, I guess, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. And
okay.
It really blew me away about it was all the documentation that is available that you're seeing, like, you know, family members, like, 2, 3, 4 generations, like, you know, things that were signed by these people. And, I mean, you don't know these people, but you're seeing their signatures. And,
or,
like, for me, it was, like, where I saw, like, the documentation of when, like, a lot of my family came over from Italy to Ellis Island. It was just very surreal to actually see things in physical writing, not just in print, but physical writing of it.
Yeah. You know, it's I'm getting chills right now because I'm, as you say, actually seeing the physical writing of it.
Mm-hmm.
When we were in Tennessee, when we were in Nashville, for our episode that just aired, we went to the Tennessee Supreme Court, and they had a judiciary museum there, which had some original paperwork. And one of the things that got me that I did not think would affect me so much, it really made me emotional. I kind of broke down. Is that they actually had an original handwritten receipt for the sale of an enslaved African American.
Wow.
And so actually seeing it and seeing the original and seeing it written, it was mind blowing, it was powerful. I got overwhelmed with emotion. So I know exactly what you mean when you say, when you actually see the actual writing and see the actual, piece of paper, it's crazy.
Yeah, it really is. I want to know how they got all that stuff online.
One of the things that they do is that they'll go to these different places that have the information, you know, and offer and ask to digitally scan and, you know, get, and they've gone all around the world and done this to try to increase the database so that they can, you know, really give people a proper experience for tracing their family history.
Wow. It's amazing. It really is. So, you know, like, career wise, do you see, like, do you think this is your path now is going to be like the hosting and the announcing thing, voiceover thing? Or do you want still have the passion to want to do the on-screen acting as well? What do you see in the future for you?
You know, for me, I've been working on trying to remove what I can't control. And for me, one of the things I learned is that that's like my career, because it's not, my career has not been that typical story. Oh, you go out there, you audition. Like I said, BattleBots, you know, came to me. I didn't audition for it. Ruthless Traveled, I didn't audition for it. So my story is definitely unique to a lot of other people's, and I just hope it continues down that journey. When I look at it, I always think to myself, something that I learned from my teachers back in Freedom Theater in Philadelphia when I grew up, and they always told me that the reward for work is more work. And so I just hope that the work that I'm putting out there, people out there loving it, they're enjoying it, and that they can get with it, and hopefully they, you know, they see what I can do and have more projects and things like that in mind for me. I do want to do some more TV and film acting. I do want to continue to do voiceovers and hosting. I definitely want a game show. I did a game show called The Noise on Universal Kids a couple years ago. We did 40 episodes, and that was an amazing experience. So I just want to continue to do new stuff, keep reinventing myself, and just stay focused.
Nice. And you know what? You got to get hold of them fellow Philly people, too. You got to hold Jamie and Tina Fey and...
Absolutely, yeah. It's crazy because I know a lot of the Philly, I know a lot of Philly people, like, you know, the famous people from Philly and this, that, and the third, but I didn't realize that Jamie Kennedy and Tina Fey was on that list.
Yeah, man.
I feel like I need to go brush up on my Philly list and just start, you know what I mean? Because even, like I said, for me, it's really always been about support. I always support people, you know, especially if you're from Philly, because I, you know, being where I come from, I know what it's like coming from where we come from, and to be able to go out there and follow our dreams and chase our dreams and achieve our dreams, man, it's just a blessing. And I'm, like I said, I'm here for everybody, man. I don't look at it like it's either me or you that can make it. No, me and you can make it. There's plenty of room for all of us. This sun is shining on all of us, and it's enough out there for all of us to get a piece.
Absolutely. I love it. Farouk, man, this has been amazing talking to you. I hope this is the start of a new Philly friendship for us. And
absolutely.
Hey, man, I got your back. We're going to keep pushing the show for you and push everything you do, man.
No doubt. I appreciate it, man. Next time I come to Nashville, because I am coming back because I enjoyed it so much. Next time I come back, I'm definitely going to look you up, man.
And look me up, man. Hey, man, I'll hit you up on Instagram and throw you my number. Say you got it.
No doubt. Will do.
Absolutely, man. Take care.
All right, man. Appreciate you.
Back at you. Bye.
Well.